The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And I have a stern warning to anybody who thinks they're going to try to steal this next election. You're going to get caught. We've got eyes, we've got ears, and we have lawyers all over. And our law enforcement is on top of it. And we and know this. This next election, if you're caught cheating when I'm governor, there's not going to be a slap on the wrist. We're going after people who stole our vote. This is our sacred vote, and we will not stand by and have it stolen. Not again. And we're going to go back and look at who stole the 2020 election as well. This stolen election had deadly consequences. People died in Afghanistan when this illegitimate president, who shouldn't even be in the White House, did such a reckless pullout, killing 13 of our men and women, our finest in the military. Deadly consequences by allowing tons of fentanyl to pour in and kill our young people. And we're not going to sit back and take any more stolen elections.
That's Carrie Lake running for governor. Her primary today is today, in Arizona, dropping a pretty big truth bomb. Of course, it's on OAN. You're not going to see that on MSNBC. You're not even going to see it on Fox News. And in fact, there's quite a few Republicans, Republican talking heads on Fox News that are pulling for her opponent. That's right. I think her name, I have it here, Karen Taylor Robson. They're talking about Robson leading in the polls. I guess, well, we're not, we don't know who's going to win today. But there she is, warning of more Election Day shenanigans. And there's reports already coming out from Arizona where people are showing up to vote and the people at the polls are saying, well, you've already voted. Same story that happened just less than 2 years ago. So we'll see what happens. A couple months ago, they had the primaries in Georgia and it didn't go so well for the Trump supporters. So we'll see today. It's not just Arizona. There's elections in Missouri and Michigan, Washington State. So certainly something to keep our eyes on. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. Channel 6 also has some replays through the day. Of course, to get to our video stream of this show, you've got to go to our very own website. That would be thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and it takes you to the live stream page. The live program, of course, it's 11 a.m. every weekday here in the central time zone of the United States. And I know there's lots of you that listen in from different time zones, so you've got to make the calculation yourself if you're watching the show in Britain, in Europe, in the Middle East, in Australasia. We've got quite a few viewers down in that area as well. So, Carrie Lake, if you think about some of the things that she has said, this is a woman who used to be a newscaster. She used to work for the media. And listen to what she said here again. I think this was in an interview with OAN, clip 9.
I'm not even, to be honest, I'm not looking to 2024. I don't know that we're going to make it to 2024. I think we have minutes left on the clock to save this country. And so I don't care about 2024. I care about 2022. And if we don't get it right now, America, in this midterm, we're not going to have a country in 24.
Wow. She's talking about us losing our nation. We're not going to have a country. We've got to get it right now. You know, a lot of the rhinos are saying 2024, and of course, secretively, they don't want Trump to be the candidate. But they're saying we'll turn this around in 2024, and she's saying it's got to be now. And you heard what she said about the stolen election. This is from America Under Attack, our book. It's arriving from the printer in just a few days. But my father writes in the book, the nation is committing suicide at the hands of certain powerful people in government and in society. They are actively, intentionally sabotaging this special nation from the inside. Now, of course, the first version of America Under Attack, that came out in 2013, right in the middle of the Obama years. And so, once again, tomorrow's news today, we actually have, we found an article from 1998. This is from The Trumpet, March, April, 1998, quoting James Madison, who said, "We have staked the whole future of American civilization not on the power of government, but upon the capacity of each and every one of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." That's not The Trumpet. That's a quote from one of the founding fathers, the architect of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison. And then we said at The Trumpet, what a powerful and frightening statement. James Madison knew that the whole future of American civilization was at stake. And if we Americans fail to govern ourselves by the Ten Commandments, this country is going to collapse into anarchy. Now, I'm sure there were people that dismissed that when reading it in 1998. That's almost 25 years old, that quote. But here we were saying that, look, it comes down to each individual's responsibility to observe or to keep the Ten Commandments. That's what our founding documents were based upon. More recently, this is from 2021, my father talking about the prophecy in 2 Kings 14. It says here, "These forces attacking America today are terribly destructive, and the worst of them are within the nation." It says, "They want to destroy traditional America, especially its Judeo-Christian heritage and its history with God." That's what they want to destroy. That's what Satan is trying to blot out. In October 2020, my father referring to Barack Obama's influence, it says, "That's how close we came to a Marxist tyranny in America." He's going back to 2016 and how that Donald Trump's victory, his miraculous victory, some would say, it certainly held back some of those forces of communism for that four-year period. My father says here, "Barack Obama's deep state would have blotted out America's constitutional republic and replaced it with a violent dictatorship if he had not been stopped by an end-time Jeroboam II. That's from October 2020. Of course, since then, a lot has happened, including the stolen election, as Carrie Lake brings out, and that stolen election has consequences. Look at the disaster just a year ago in Afghanistan. And then here's the fake president last night who said a year ago, nothing in Afghanistan matters. Al-Qaeda's been defeated. Let's just get out. And he did. He got everyone out. He sure did. And Americans died. They were murdered in the process. And then you have these top officials at the State Department, at the Pentagon, lying about these drone strikes. And yet, I guess last night, we're supposed to just believe everything that this fake president says. And consider the timing of all this, not to mention the timing of Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. What is going on here? This has been a train wreck of an administration, an illegitimate one at that. And it just so happens that now Joe Biden, this is big news. And there's a lot of people in the left-wing media not even buying it. The Atlantic, what was the headline coming out of The Atlantic? Yeah, okay, you got Zawahiri. Well, so what? He wasn't even an active player anymore in the world of terrorism. I mean, if you're getting that kind of response from The Atlantic, then you know your propaganda is not working so well. We'll get to some of those clips if we have time. But coming back to tomorrow's news today, if you haven't subscribed to The Trumpet Magazine, free subscription. You can get a free subscription at 1-866-930-3024. Just call our operators today and request 1 year of The Trumpet. 10 issues per year. That's 1-866-930-3024. My father says here, people need to understand what a dangerous threat this is to the very foundation of this nation. Just to back up to give you some context, he says the Democrats are demonstrating that there is virtually no limit to what they are willing to do to attack the president and to undermine the last election. They're willing to do anything to attack Donald Trump, to maintain their grip on power. It says here, in America's civil war, neither side will win. This is where it's leading. It's leading to a civil war, and both sides are going to come out losers in that battle. One last bit from, we can skip along, but again, as much as they wish for Donald Trump to go away, as I was saying on yesterday's show, he's not going away. He's not. He's still turning out tremendous crowds, huge crowds. This is pretty funny. This is Morning Joe. They got all giddy yesterday morning because evidently at the LIV golf tournament that Donald Trump's golf course, I think it was in New Jersey, hosted over the weekend. Evidently, according to Mika and Joe, that nobody turned out for. I mean, this is just a sign. This is a sign that Donald Trump is going away. He finally is going away. Listen to their reaction to these video images, clip 7.
The Saudi-backed LIV golf tour wrapped up its second U.S.-based tournament yesterday at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, New Jersey. But for all the focus on the tournament that was hosted by a former president obsessed with crowd sizes, there were, oh my God, look at that. Oh my God, there's no crowd.
It's kind of sad. It kind of looks some of the shots on the side.
Is that
of
a rehearsal?
This is from the people who work overtime to cover up the size of the crowds at all of his rallies. Here, they're just looking at one hole, by the way. Here's another bit of sports footage for you. For those of you that are wishing we can have a horse race or some tennis shots of Djokovic, here you go. Here's the golf course. One hole on this golf course. And they can't believe it. Nobody turned out. This is a new organization, by the way. This LIV organization, and Tucker Carlson interviewed Greg Norman, I think, last night on his show, and sounds like a pretty good idea to try to get a little bit of a dent into the PGA's monopoly. But Morning Joe will not have any of it, because I mean they've got to side with the monopoly. And oh, by the way, this new LIV tournament, it's backed by the Saudis, so it has to be evil. Well. Greg Norman exposed the fraud of that argument last night on Tucker. They want so much for him to go away, and the reality is most in America want for the fake president, Joe Biden, backed by Barack Obama. Most in America want them to go away. Listen to this from MSNBC, clip 1.
Major stories to emerge from the 2020 election. It was the shift we saw in the Hispanic vote. Democrats still won the Hispanic vote in 2020. You can see by 21 points, but that was down 17 points from 2016. Hillary Clinton won the Hispanic vote by 38, Joe Biden by just 21. And you know what? The trend seems to be continuing in 2022. What you're looking at here, this is the average of every poll we've got out there that's been taken over the last 3 months that looks at the Hispanic vote. And you put them all together, Hispanics are now voting Democratic by just 13 points. So from 38 to 21, now down in the 2022 midterm polling to a Democratic advantage of just 13 points.
38 to 21, now down to 13. And this is in the span of what, 5-6 years? I mean, it's to the point where cheating is not even going to overturn this. I mean, there's only so much cheating that you can get away with. It's not like you can just card in. Well, they certainly carded in millions in 2020. But like Carrie Lake says, we're watching this time. Maybe you caught us off guard last time. But we've got a lot more poll watchers. We're going to be scrutinizing all the details as they roll in. And we're going to penalize and punish those who steal, who cheat. How much? No wonder they're so desperate for some kind of narrative, as I said on yesterday's show, is just 2 seconds ago, where we were hearing about how great everything was going for Joe Biden. He's conquered COVID. Just the little recession word. If we can get rid of that, get that out of the narrative, but everything else is working. And then he gets the COVID rebound. And we now know that 40% of people on Paxlovid, never mind the propaganda from just a few weeks back. Oh, yeah, it's just so rare to get that COVID rebound, or the second to relapse with COVID if you're on Paxlovid. Now we know it's about 40%. 40% of people that take Paxlovid, they get COVID again. You can't make this up. So they're desperate to do anything to change the narrative or to distract you away from what's actually happening. Listen to Joe Biden from just a year ago on the general unimportance of Afghanistan. This is clip 6.
What interest do we have in Afghanistan at this point with Al-Qaeda gone? We went to Afghanistan for the express purpose of getting rid of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, as well as getting Osama bin Laden. And we did.
We accomplished everything that we needed to. So what point is there in having any kind of lingering presence in Afghanistan? Well, now, of course, as of last night, very, very excited about what's happening in Afghanistan. Zawahiri, evidently, Taliban controls it, but Zawahiri, he's heading up Al-Qaeda, I guess. He comes into Kabul because he feels so comfortable. I guess he's just now he's living in he's out of the caves, and he's just living in an apartment with his family and friends. And the drone strike, it killed just him, nobody. No casualties alongside him or anything like that. No collateral damage. It was just him. It was perfect. In other words, it was a perfect strike. It just took out Zawahiri, and we've been going after him for 20 years. Oh, yes. I'm not minimizing the impact that that man had on Al-Qaeda's movement, or the fact that he was the mastermind behind the 9/11 attacks. But suddenly, this is a huge deal to the Joe Obama people. Listen to Joe Biden from last night. This is clip 10.
On Saturday, at my direction, the United States successfully concluded an airstrike in Kabul, Afghanistan, that killed the emir of Al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri. For decades, he was the mastermind behind attacks against Americans. And since the United States delivered justice to bin Laden 11 years ago, Zawahiri has been a leader of Al-Qaeda, the leader. After relentlessly seeking Zawahiri for years under Presidents Bush, Obama, and Trump, our intelligence community located Zawahiri earlier this year. He had moved to downtown Kabul to reunite with members of his immediate family. And 1 week ago, after being advised that the conditions were optimal, I gave the final approval to go get him. And the mission was a success. None of his family members were hurt, and there were no civilian casualties. I'm sharing this news with the American people now after confirming the mission's total success through the painstaking work of our counterterrorism community and key allies and partners.
And remember when they had that drone strike following the Americans that were murdered a year ago? And Milley and all the rest said that, yeah, no collateral damage, no civilian casualties. And then we find out later it's like 7 children blew up in that drone strike attack, and then they got the wrong guy? Remember that? This is just a year ago. Just 1 year ago. And it's like Tucker said last night, I mean, you, as disastrous as that was, you would think this man would never, ever, ever utter the word Afghanistan again. But no, not in this upside-down world we're living in. Now it's a point of success for this administration. Listen to Tucker a little bit from his monologue last night, clip 4.
If you're Joe Biden, if you think about it, it takes a lot of brass to brag about Afghanistan or even mention the word Afghanistan. His withdrawal from that country almost a year ago was the single most humiliating moment in American foreign policy since the fall of Saigon in April of 1975. There are a lot of ways to pull out of Afghanistan. Biden chose a path that seemed designed to inflict maximum damage to the interests of the United States. He did that. Kind of no debating it. But Biden is not ashamed of it. He wasn't ashamed of it then. He's not ashamed of it now. Tonight, Biden gave a speech boasting that he's killed an Al-Qaeda figure in Afghanistan. Great. Feel safer? Of course you don't. Nobody does. And the reason nobody feels safer is Biden's response to the disaster in Afghanistan.
Even if it is, even if it happened the way they're saying it happened, you know, most people are just tuning it out. Listen to this commentator from Fox as well, clip two.
Let me throw some cold water on this. I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical that a year after the disastrous U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, this happens. I'd like to know how this happened. How did it happen now? Do we know Zawahiri was really killed? There's no Western media on the ground to confirm this. And were civilians killed also? We know there were other drone strikes that this administration launched after the disastrous explosion at the Kabul airport in August. We were told no civilians were killed. That wasn't true. And I'm afraid this administration has a habit of saying things in national security that are not accurate.
He's got that right for sure. They say quite a few things that simply are not accurate. They're not the truth. They're not true. Even if it's true, like was pointed out at the Daily Wire, if you've got the head of Al-Qaeda camping out in an apartment in Kabul, well, then this shows that the Taliban is giving safe haven to Al-Qaeda, something that the Joe Obama people said would never happen. Oh, never, 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 never. The Atlantic, this is that headline that I mentioned earlier. This is Graham Wood at The Atlantic. A key 9/11 plotter is dead. He was already irrelevant. He was in his 70s. Some say he was up in his 80s, struggling with his health. Of course, there have been reports over the years that he died, I think, 5 or 6 times. But now, I mean, now it's serious. Now it's really important. Now it definitely happened. You think about, this is conservative Treehouse Sundance. He says something fishy. Aged Zawahiri surfaces as killed by CIA on the exact same day as Jennifer Griffin resurfaces over a month of nothing. Someone in the deep state is manufacturing something. He's referring to the Fox reporter that was all hot and bothered after Tucker started to give his views on what was really going on in Ukraine. She didn't like that. And then she's all of a sudden gone for a number of weeks, which is a little strange. She resurfaces to break this news. And then you've got Joe Biden. He's rushing to the microphone last night while he's in isolation, by the way. He's supposed to be in isolation. Doesn't have a mask on. The poor cameraman. He's just being exposed to COVID-1, COVID-2. There's Joe Biden in the White House. He's not looking so great, but you can cut him some slack because he's got the COVID. This is from Raheem Kassan. Rebound COVID, Al-Qaeda drone strike, random Taiwan trips. The Washington CYA machine is in overdrive right now. He says something's going on. All of these strange events, how do they fit together? Perhaps we'll see more clearly in a few days, or maybe even less than that. The dust up over Taiwan, the saber rattling, and Pelosi going through with her visit. And then all of these Democrats that are, I mean, their pockets are being lined with cash by the CCP in China. And then you've got Taiwan has such a crucial role in the development of those computer chips or whatever they're called. And then the investments, the Pelosi family. How is this all connected? The Pentagon spokesman, John Kirby, he subbed in, by the way, for the French lady yesterday. And I saw a tweet how that this woman's had, I think, something like 50 or 60 substitutes in her short time as the White House spokesperson. I mean, you know, if it's really important or serious, they're going to get someone to come in who's better than what she is. She's just had so many dreadful performances in trying to speak for this illegitimate administration. So in comes Kirby, and listen to what he said yesterday. This is clip 5.
this administration's policy is with respect to the One China principle, One China policy, as well as not wanting to see cross-strait tensions resolved by any than other than peaceful means, and the fact that we don't support Taiwan independence.
We don't support Taiwan independence. It seems like that's just, if that's the position, that's just something that you'd kind of keep quiet about, particularly now. As I said yesterday, if this is some kind of show of support for Taiwan, well, then it's about time. But here Pelosi's about to arrive. A lot of people are upset about it. And he comes out, the Pentagon spokesman, and says, yeah, we don't support Taiwan independence. This is from the Trumpet back in 2007, just to give you some historical context here. The U.S. originally supported the Taiwanese effort in an effort to oppose communism and champion democracy. The 1954 Mutual Defense Treaty and the 1979 Taiwan Relations Act both promise U.S. defense of the island. United States President Ronald Reagan went even further, giving six assurances to Taiwan, including continuing arms sales and an assurance that the U.S. would not recognize Chinese sovereignty over Taiwan. It says here, United States foreign policy regarding Taiwan took a drastic change under the Clinton administration. In June of 1998, Clinton gave a speech in Shanghai where he declared that the U.S. would not support a Taiwanese declaration of independence. So I guess that's, for the most part, has been the policy since. And here comes Kirby yesterday to reaffirm that publicly. Publicly, even as Nancy Pelosi's about to land. She's evidently there at the moment. Saw just before coming up here. Going back to the Trumpet, this is from 2016, Jeremiah Jacques. He said, in 1998, Bill Clinton became the first American president to publicly oppose Taiwanese independence. It says, in Taiwan betrayal from the August 1998 Trumpet, Mr. Flurry wrote, he's quoting my father here, it says, the Chinese leaders pressured the president and America to speak against our freedom-loving friends in Taiwan. It says, the people of Taiwan fear for their future. They feel betrayed. Once again, America has showcased its broken will to the whole world. How could anyone fail to see that Taiwan is destined to become part of the mainland of mainland China? That's where that this is headed. Prophecy bears that out. I've got plenty more quotes that I could give to you. Tomorrow's news today. Tomorrow's news today. You can be sure that the CCP, never mind all the dust up over what's happened with this trip, but you can be sure that the CCP loves the fact that Joe Biden is in power and that Nancy Pelosi is heading up the House of Representatives. There will be more to report on with respect to this in the future. All right, just debating whether or not I should blaze through a couple more items on the news list, but maybe we could break here and figure out a path forward during the promo. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can send comments to the show at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. One third of your Bible is prophecy, and 90% of it is for our time today. This is why, when you study Bible prophecy, you often read statements like, in that day, in the last days, and at the time of the end. Biblical prophecy is what makes the Bible so relevant to today, so essential to understanding our modern world. Most people, even in the world of religion, assume that nations like Britain, America, Germany, Russia, and China are not mentioned in Bible prophecy. But if prophecy is mainly for our time today, how could the Bible ignore some of the most powerful and prominent nations of today? The key to understanding prophecy is knowing the biblical identities of modern nations. Learn about these identities in Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. In this book, you will learn about the astonishing identity of the American and British people in biblical prophecies. Request your free copy today. The United States and Britain in Prophecy.
The Trumpet Daily.
Last week, I think it was Friday's show, we talked about being a friend of God, going through some of those verses at the end of James chapter 2, also making the point that faith has to be combined with works. We drew attention to the instruction in that same chapter about the royal law of God. Just to repeat James 2 in verse 23, it says this about Abraham, who had faith mixed with works, obviously. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. Moses, too, in Exodus 33, he was called a friend of God. These great patriarchs of old, they didn't just believe in the simple existence of God. They believed God. They heeded God's instructions and warnings. They followed God. They were, in that sense, true Christians, followers of Christ. Of course, Christ came in the flesh much later. But these were faithful, faithful supporters of God and His work. Men of action, men who had faith mixed with works. Verse 26, this is James 2 as well. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You see a lot of dead faith in the world today. Faith without works, shallow faith, lifeless faith, faith that's just all talk and no action. Notice James 4, this is the same book. Just a couple chapters later on, it says, you lust, and verse 2, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war yet have not because you ask not. Talking about beseeching God in prayer. Verse 3, it says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts, it says. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? It says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we read in chapter 2 about Abraham, who was a friend of God. And you could add to that this bit of knowledge that if you're a friend of this world, if you're close to this world, you cannot be close to God. You can read about this also in 1 John 2. Maybe I can get to that at a later time. But in Mr. Armstrong's booklet, Herbert Armstrong's booklet, The Plain Truth About Healing, he talks about these great patriarchs of old. He talks about some of the apostles from the first century, Peter, Stephen, Philip, Paul, common, humble, ordinary men themselves. It says about them, all had that power, the power of God's Spirit, the same identical power Jesus had, because they lived and walked close to God and were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were close to God. They were friends of God. They weren't friends of this world. The booklet goes on and says, and we seem to lack that power today, not because God denies us that power, but because we're so close to a modern materialistic world. Our minds are so filled with the material interests of this life. Our minds and our hearts are so far from God. We're so out of touch with Him through lack of enough time spent in the study of His Word and lack of enough of the right kind of surrendered, submissive, earnest, and heartrending prayer. See, if you've had a good friend in college or at the workplace or in the community, you obviously consider that individual a friend because of the time that you spend together, the experiences you've enjoyed with one another, the years of maybe getting to know them on a deeper level. Maybe you grew up with them in the same neighborhood. So it's pretty obvious, isn't it, how you draw close to God? how you befriend God? We have to spend time with him. We have to get to know him. We have to get to know more about his word, his instruction, his teaching. And we have to act on that truth. Otherwise, it's just going to be lifeless faith. Faith in name only. Fake faith. In The Missing Dimension in Sex, talking about that pull coming from the world. I mean, it's a strong draw. It certainly is for our young people, as we were telling them at SEP. Satan wants our young people to be friends with the world. In The Missing Dimension in Sex, it says here, the natural tendency to want to belong is merely the expression of this phase of human nature. This leads to the desire to want to go along with those one accepts as his peer group, teen, gang, or whatever. It says this nature expresses itself in young people by the natural pull to want to go along with the teens as opposed to their elders. So if the teens come up with a custom, it's a strong pull that you've got to resist against. Just that pull to go along, with the crowd. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, as Jesus said. But to go God's way, it's a straight and narrow way. It's not easy. It's going to be very difficult, in fact. It's going to be quite challenging to stay on that narrow path. This is from an article Mr. Armstrong wrote to the newly begotten in the church. This was many years ago. He said to them, "You have entered upon a new life, a life of great happiness and joy, a life to continue forever. Yet in this present evil world, it will not be an easy life. As a matter of fact, you've left behind the easy way, the popular broad road that leads to destruction. You've passed the crossroads and turned on to the narrow, rutty, bumpy, rocky, and hard and difficult road that very few people in this world ever are willing to enter." It says, but it leads to success, to usefulness, to happiness, joy, and eternal life. It leads to rewards, not of idleness and ease, but to usefulness and service and accomplishment and success. So great. I know your mind can't possibly grasp it now, but you'll have to pay the price. We read that to the campers at SEP. It's the difficult, the challenging, sometimes the grueling way. It's a struggle, but the rewards are oh so worth it. It's worth it making sacrifices for God. It's worth it standing alone if you have to, so long as you're standing with God. Look at Jesus Christ. He stood alone right at the very last. Even God had to turn and look away as Christ became that sin sacrifice. And yet he did it for your benefit, for my benefit, for our good. That's the love of God. What a demonstration of love. And it was there for all of us to see. And we can still look back on it. We can still study God's word. We can still look into the Gospels. We can be reminded of the agony that Christ went through the night before the crucifixion. We can be reminded of the brutal scourging that he withstood even before he was speared to death. Read Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2. Read the accounts in the Gospels there at the end of Matthew or Mark or Luke. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2. It says here in verse 21, For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. He left us this example and says, now follow my example, lead in love. Get your mind off of yourself and focus on serving and sacrificing for others. That's the spirit of God's love. John 15 and verse 14, you can just look at that later, but over there Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So here again, to be a friend of Christ's, to be a friend of God's, this is the way to do it. obey God's commandments, submit to God's laws. Notice this, verse 22, it says, who did, speaking of Christ, this perfect example, it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus Christ allowed his body to just be literally ripped open, ripped to shreds, in hundreds of places, no doubt, because of how totally submitted he was to God's will. Just clothed in humility and meekness, clothed in a submissive, obedient attitude. Verse 25 says, for you were as sheep going astray, but now are now returned unto the shepherd, capital S, and the bishop of your souls. We're just like some of the sheep on this campus. They're not particularly bright. Dumb sheep. God says, that's what we're compared to. And God doesn't say that because of he's trying to put us down. He says it because he wants us to be grounded in the truth that without God, without the chief shepherd, we are utterly helpless. We cannot make our way in this world. This is Satan's world, after all. We won't be able to figure it out. The devil's too deceptive. He's too powerful. But he's not more powerful than God. And so God says, draw near to me, befriend me, be my friend, and resist against the devil and his influence, and then he'll flee. Then he'll flee from you. Sheep going astray, that's what we were. And then God saved us, then God rescued us, and now God leads us. Notice this from Matthew. Chapter 10, it says here, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily, verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. This is advice that Jesus is giving to his disciples. Look, go out there and spread the message. You're going to encounter a lot of resistance. A lot of people won't like this message, but you get it out there anyway. And be brave, and be courageous and bold. Verse 16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep. Here again, we're sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I mean, we're going to have to be unusual sheep if we're going to dwell right in the midst of all these wolves? If we're following the chief shepherd, you see, if we have God as our friend, well, that's going to make these sheep, as I say, able to even invade a territory of wolves, if you can believe it. With God, all things are possible. With God's strength, think about 2 Timothy chapter 1, where it talks about the Spirit of God being the Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I mean, that gives us access to tremendous power if we're drawing on the Spirit of God. Befriend God, be a friend of God, and resist the devil and his influence. Notice this proverb, or this section from Proverbs 1, we can just conclude with this. It says, my son, if sinners entice you, consent you not. Don't just go along, no matter how strong the pull is. Resist against it and draw near to God. Work on your relationship with God. Work on your friendship with God. Work on it so much where God ultimately can say, you're my friend. You're a friend of God. Can't be both. Again, 1 John 2 brings that out. It's one or the other. It's friendship with the world or friendship with God. verse 11 here in the Proverbs, it says, if they say, come with us, these sinners that are enticing you, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not you in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path. Just stay away from their path even. Work on that communication, that line, that pathway toward God. And don't walk in the way of sinners. Don't befriend this world. Don't befriend those of this world that are just immersed into this world's conditions and traditions and customs. This world is dying. This world is about to explode in violence. And as we were saying to all of these teenagers at SEP, you really want to strengthen your friendship, not even just with God and Jesus Christ, but with all in the God family. The brethren of God, those that you're going to services with, those that you're meeting up with at God's summer educational program, really strengthening those bonds so that you're not a straggler kind of hanging off to the side. That makes for an easy target of the devils. Strengthen that friendship, that bond with the great Creator God and His family, and draw on His tremendous power and strength. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with some viewer feedback, some feedback that we've gotten from some of you. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical. But world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
This from India, a viewer who says, your show is magical as always. There's no doubt about your witty punchlines and sense of humor, which makes watching a fantastic experience. Good laughter is all we need to downsize life's pulls and pressures. And if it comes from a source, like you, then it is, of course, a cherry on the cake. The 5-minute montage of SEP was terrific. I love having a teacher, and watching Trumpet Daily is all that you can demand from life. Each episode teaches a lesson and takes you one step closer to God and His divine plans for humanity. Some really nice encouragement there. We appreciate that. Another one here says, I loved the Heavenly Trump horse race video at the first of yesterday's TD. Concerning the FBI, my uncle was in the FBI during the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. After World War II, he was sent to Germany to be there during the Nuremberg trials. I was always happy that he was a part of that FBI back when I was a child. He's now dead, but I wonder what in the world would he think of that organization now. It really upsets me to see and hear about what they have become and are doing to this country today, all of these rogue agents. You know about the miscarriages of justice happening with the January 6th defendants. One they put in jail for 7 years yesterday. He didn't even go into the Capitol. And for 7 years, he's going to go to prison. I'll maybe get into that story a little more tomorrow on the show if we have time. I saw some footage yesterday of this federal agent just basically bombarding this ordinary citizen. And that citizen, to his credit, called the police and said, I don't know. It could be someone impersonating an agent for all that I know. And when the local police showed up, the resistance from this arrogant federal agent, it's like he saw himself as God. I'm not going to kneel. I'm not going to get on the ground because you law enforcement agents, you local law enforcement say that. And these policemen were like, what is wrong with you? You need to get on the ground and stop resisting this so that we can find out who you are. We just got a call saying you're impersonating an officer. A little bit of pushback from time to time. You don't see it that often. People just cower in fear before Barack Obama, as my father writes in AUA. And these federal agencies, they're out of control. She's right. What would her, what was it, her grandfather, her uncle, what would he think of the FBI today? It says here, finally, just to bring it back to her email, I enjoyed watching the SCP award night last evening when I was able to live stream it, and I'm glad that you were able to use a portion of that final video on your program. Another one from Arizona says this: this was one of the very best Trumpet Daily programs I've ever seen. Very inspiring to see our youth benefiting from these life-changing teachings. It was hard to keep my eyes dry the whole time. What a tremendous service to the whole of God's church. Please keep up this incredible work. That comes from Arizona. This one here says, today's Trumpet Daily was an upper and downer, so to speak. God's comedy with Heavenly Trump off the chart win, plus Biden's COVID surge and resurge. But the sad part for me was knowing those children's thoughts of leaving God's happy campus. I, past 70, could just feel the sadness of leaving so much joy, such leadership and fellowship. But the encouragement of those uplifting, motivating speeches and sermonettes that even our congregations were blessed to hear leaves all with an eagerness to rush into our next facet of life. Prayers for all as they travel home. One of your many fixated listeners from Texas. That from Texas. This one here says, good morning, Mr. Flurry and crew. Just wanted to say how much I enjoyed the opening segment. You're right about God's humor. I couldn't help but laugh and hope the jockey was okay, but I knew this must be God's doing to let us know his plan for Mr. Trump's return is inevitable. Loved seeing the kids enjoying camp. It says, I hope they know how blessed they are to be there. Another one here says, as always, loved your show today. Please note this. As Biden brags about how quick his COVID recovery was compared to Trump, make note of the fact that Mr. Trump had the killer Delta, not the watered-down, weak, mild, cold flu Omicron. Yeah, and of course, Biden bragged last week, too, about having all the drugs. He had all the vaccines, had the Paxlovid. He had everything. Trump got his before the vaccines were rolled out. Trump never had Paxlovid. And probably glad that he didn't. And he came back, you know, went into Walter Reed Friday, came back Monday. And here's Joe Biden relapsing in self-isolation, except for the Afghanistan announcement. But aside from that, I mean, he's very strict. He's very strictly following the rules of social distancing, except for the cameraman. It's just pretty pathetic. Where was I? The 5 minutes montage? No, I think I got backed up here. As always, love your show. Oh, yeah, there it is. One more. I can squeeze it in. I saw the montage of your campers. Looked like they had a great time, and I learned some things as well. I read something your father wrote a while back about Putin leading the 200 million man army to the Battle of Armageddon. I believe that's possible. It says, what can you say about our fearless leader getting COVID again after becoming a pincushion from vaccines and boosters? So there you go. If you'd like to send some email to this show, our address is td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.